Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Alton Steed, a self. Proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, toxic masculinity. Now that I said that, What is toxic masculinity? The question, right? So, anyway, I went to NCBI of this NLM.NIH.gov, right? PMC, right? Took an article out. I bought a piece of something anyway, right? It said about the masculine roles and norms and stuff like that, right? You know, norms, what's normal for a man to do culturally and things like that, you know, masculine to male and things like that. And, you know, said, what is the role of masculine? What are the role of masculine norms and informal support on those things, right? So anyway, I just took a little snapshot. Said, I said there are 11 masculine norms that include risk-taking, disdain for homosexuality, violence, winning, emotional control, power over women, dominance, playboy, self-reliance, primacy of work, and pursuit of status. Well, as you probably... that I read these things, you probably think, you know, might come to the conclusion that, well, I came to the conclusion, being a man, I never heard of some of this stuff. So I was wondering, who's making these things up? Like, it's a masculine norm, like, just that risk-taking. Like, everybody take risks. Disdain for homosexuality. I know some women who don't like... who don't even want to be, you know, and you know, around a man that's homosexual. You know, they don't like homosexuality, so they're not interested in a man if he's a homosexual. And some, you know, they frown upon it. And just about everybody I know frowns on violence. So I'm trying to figure out, where did they get this from? You know, we talking about real, like, you know, like the violence that's happening in Philadelphia, Chicago, you know, and, you know, places like that. You know, New York, California, like, you know, I think it's safe to say we don't like violence. You know, and maybe there are some people out here who don't mind, who like to see people get their heads blown off in real life. And but for the most part, that's not normal. We're not interested in people dying, winning. Everybody likes to win. Nobody wants to be a loser. So I'm. That didn't make sense to me. Emotional control. Of course, you need to control your emotions. When you don't control you, people will seek to control you. If you're emotionally out of sources on the street, the police will knock in your head, right? Arrest you. Maybe if you're lucky, because you might get shot, right? If they fear for their life. So you just can't be emotional all over the place, you know. And I don't know if that means emotional control of oneself, but everyone should try to control themselves emotionally and be appropriate when they're expressing their dislike of something emotionally. Right? Power over women. Woo! I don't know what that looks like, being a man, having power over another person, because if I did, I wouldn't be in a position where I am now. If I had the power over, you can have power over another person, imagine the things you'd be able to do anyway. So we don't have that. So I don't, dominance, well, you know, like I know, grew up, the man is the head of the house, head of the family, if that's what they refer to as dominance. I'm not sure. But dominance means to be on top, dominate on, you know, so. In order for you to be on top, somebody had to be on the bottom, and, you know, blase, blase. Playboy, never heard of this one. Those are norms for playboys. Listen, who is this playboy playing with? Is he playing? How is he being a playboy? Doesn't it take a playboys play with bunnies, right? You know, I don't get it. Reliance, that's actually a pretty good attribute for anybody. Um, pursue the status. Everybody's looking for some kind of status somewhere. You know, you want to move up in your job. Some people want a better job, want to make more money. You know, the more you have an economic status here that you can achieve in this country by doing many things. Don't necessarily have to be, it could be self-employed. You could be someone in a corporation, someone in have your own job, you know. And so all those are pursuits of status that men and women both seek. So I don't get the masculine about the 11 masculine norms. And some of them, for the most part, never heard of them. From Aurora News, they say toxic masculinity behaviors, right? So being stoic, right? That's a person who can endure pain or hardship without showing their feelings or complaining. So that means you don't say ouch or you don't bit your teeth. What's that mean? Because I think that childbearing is I don't know, but I heard that was some incredible pain, and women bear that, some once, some twice, some three times, four times, five times, six times, get my drift, right? So they bear that hardship. I guess they show their feelings because they're pretty emotional doing that. I guess they complain a lot too. That doesn't make them weaker. So, and if you're not showing any feelings or complaining, what are you doing, right? So they're saying that you should show your feelings or complaint, not be stoic. Anyway, being stoic is actually a good attribute to be able to endure pain and hardship. That's an actually excellent attribute. You can show how you feel about it by doing something, right? So taking action, right? You can't take action, right, with tears in your eyes and constantly complaining. That's all you're doing is crying and complaining. You know, we call that bitching, right? You're not doing anything. So you're not being sensitive. You're just bitching. That's not going to help you or anybody. Just for you to just keep complaining about something. Give yourself time to grieve, feel, and express yourself. You know, do all that kind of stuff. But you don't want to be doing that. That's not how you deal with issues, especially things that are painful or is causing you a hardship, right? So give yourself time to grieve and feel. So you want to, you know, I understand it, bitching. I get that. But, you know, that's not your solution or the action you're going to take. That's just an emotional response anyway. So give yourself time to do that and then do something about it. That's what you do when you endure pain and hardship. Check out the history of slavery in this country. You'll see that people endured pain and hardship and they were doing things about it, right? Running away. Poisoning their enslavers, right? Murdering their enslavers, things like that, right? So you need to do something. Being promiscuous, I thought this was interesting because somebody said this is again, like the Playboy thing, this is a male masculine norm. And I'm like, somebody help me out with this because I'm like, as I say, I'm not the sharpest knife in the kitchen. Sometimes I'm not even in the kitchen, right? But being promiscuous, right? That means having or involving many sexual partners. A promiscuous man, woman. So even the definition, promiscuous is not of something that is ascribed only to males. So they said in the definition, it could be a male or a female, right? So about the promiscuous sexual behavior, it's not masculine. It's not specifically masculine. These promiscuous men are having sex with promiscuous women, right? All right. So, and it depends on what your background is. You're religious and all that stuff, you know. Outside of marriage, you're being promiscuous, right? All right. So, just going from a general point of view, right? According to 2011-2015 CDC, data one, women between the ages 25 and 44 had a median of 4.2 sexual partners, while men in that age group had a median of 6.1 sexual partners. No big difference there. A 2015 study published in the Archives of Sexual Behavior found millennials had an average of 8 sexual partners. A 2017 survey of 2,180 people from the U.S. and Europe from the U.K. Health Service Superdrug Online Doctor found women had a lifetime of average of 7 sexual partners. Men had an average of 8 sexual partners. See, not specifically masculine, right? Because as I said, you know, a promiscuous man has to be having sex with a woman. So, I mean, a 2018 survey from Nectar Sleep found men reported having an average of 26 sexual partners before settling down, and women an average of 19 sexual partners, right? In 2016, a survey, over 1,000 LGBTQ people found gay men have an average of 30 life partners, whereas lesbians, the average is 12 sexual partners. So I think it's safe to say that being promiscuous is not masculine or feminine, right? Then they went on to say champion heterosexuality as the alterable norm, unalterable, unchangeable norm, not able to be changed. It's a cultural norm when practice that is not heterosexuality means a woman and a man, right? I'm not saying anybody don't know what that is, but I'm just being clear. Heterosexuality means a man having sex with a woman, not a man, not same sex, right? So it's an unalterable norm. Now, if you are heterosexual, to you, that is an unalterable, right, norm. I am not going to be in a relationship with another woman or another man, right? So if you're a female or a man, right, you're not going to be in a same-sex relationship. It's unalterable, right? Not going to happen, right? So heterosexuality as a norm is supported by nature. You know, boy meets girl, penis goes into the vagina, ejaculation occurs, and 9 months later, child is born, right? That's the short story. Believe it or not, that is how we all get here, and it is normal and natural. So champion heterosexuality, what do you mean? That doesn't even make sense to me. I question who's writing some of these articles also, but I'm going to go ahead. I just use it for basis of the conversation, right, about toxic masculinity, right? So being violent, right? So being violent is using or involving physical force intended to hurt, damage, or kill someone or something, right? So now they're saying that that's toxic and masculine, right? So traditionally, men have spared women from being called to behave violently in war, but violence is hardly masculine, right? Men historically send their strongest into battle, so it makes sense to prefer or assign men with the duty of protector or aggressor for conquering the world, right? So you're the aggressor, Alexander the Great, Hitler, European conquest of the so-called New World. Men are naturally stronger than women, right? So you send your strongest to war, you're not going to send your strongest against your weakest against somebody else's strongest. That doesn't make sense. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't mean that there isn't a woman out here that can lift 200 pounds and all that stuff. What it means is that women in general are not as strong as men. biologically. Okay, so that shouldn't be hard to understand. Now, that doesn't mean that women can't participate in a military or protective or aggressive offense, because they can. I think in what's that? Israel, everybody joins the military, right? All right. Unfortunately, there are times when violence is necessary. Ask Harriet Tubman and all the slaves made, male and female, that revolted against their oppressors. Ask any man or woman who has had to defend their family or themselves. For the most part, no one wants to live in a violent environment, and no one wants to come home to violence. Men and women are supposed to be protectors, both, right? They have children, right? I'm in a house with my woman. I am expecting her to be there to also protect me, right? She is expecting me to protect her. So we're here to protect each other. Said, but it's my job first. But as you know, things happen when they happen. So whoever's come in contact first, they got to deal with that thing, right? Right. So anyway, the natural size and strength advantage supports a man's role as being the first line of defense. If you can get him there, right? You know, y'all in bed, you hear somebody, something downstairs, somebody not supposed to be down there, right? Is it appropriate to send your woman down there? Say, Michael Jordan in bed, is it appropriate for him to send his little young girl downstairs to see who just broke in the house? Or is Mike supposed to go down there and handle that? I'm just asking. Would it be fair for the woman to defend the home from a male intruder while the man calls the police? I'm just saying, right? I mean, being dominant, right? That's another, they call this another toxic. It's toxic. The word toxic is another word for poison, right? It's like alcohol and, you know, cigarettes, right? Most important, dominant, right, powerful, and influential. How is that bad trait? That means women shouldn't run for political office, definitely shouldn't run for president. That's a toxic male trait. Why are these women trying to get in these positions of power in any country? If it's a toxic trait, being important, powerful, and influential. Not quite getting that. Sexual aggression towards women. This is very interesting, calling this a toxic male sexual aggression is involves the use of threat, intimidation, exploitation of authority or force with the aim of imposing one's sexual will on a non-consenting person for the purpose of personal gratification. That may or may not be predominantly sexual in nature. So basically, you're going to force somebody to have sex with you or somebody else, right? I thought this was a no-brainer. Sexual aggression is not masculine.
It's wrong.
Right? So, let's say not displaying emotion is a toxic one of the toxic features of a man. So, again, I mean, like, I think, but is that like, not, what's that? Also, they got these movies on these psychotic, what do you call them, sociopaths, right? Who don't show emotions. So that's what we call sociopaths, isn't it? They don't show emotions, things like that. So just growing up, I've seen people show emotion, anger, fear. So what do you mean not showing emotion? Is anger emotion? Is fear an emotion? Is like you're excited about something? So I see men, what do you want guys to do? Just walk around crying because a bird broke his wing or something like that. I'm trying to get to, what is this, all this here? You want him to be super sensitive? I don't even see women doing that. But not displaying emotion. I don't know anybody that doesn't display emotion. That's what I'm trying to say. And I've seen Ben Amin on a lot of people. Even these, you know, I don't get it. I'm going to leave that alone because I don't even get that. Nobody's walking around not displaying emotion. Maybe you think, if you think they should be crying or something like that, that's your problem. Right? Not being a feminist ally is another toxic masculinity attribute, which an advocate for women's rights on the basis of equality of the sexes, a person who supports feminism. Feminism is the advocacy of women's rights on the basis of the equality of the sexes. So they these are all negative, toxic, poison, bad qualities. So of toxic masculinity. But they're all attributes that women have also. So these attributes are not specific to men if they have them. But, I don't know anybody that doesn't display emotion. From GreenHillRecovery.com, toxic masculinity appears in many different forms. A few examples include telling boys to man up when they feel upset or justifying abusive, inappropriate behavior with the phrase, boys will be boys. I think people usually say man up when you've been crying for like, all right, you know you've been crying for about an hour here and really and nothing has occurred. So you're a little upset, pull yourself together, and let's move on to the next, what we have to do with our lives, because we can't cry for the rest of our lives and doing nothing. You're not getting nothing accomplished while you are crying. So you can talk about what it is, and you can do something about what it is you're crying about, right? Some people cry to get sympathy and to have their way, you know. So I don't know. I always say action. You can cry all you want. You can, you know, be how you feel sad, stuff like that, but you have to do something after that. You can't just walk around feeling sad because now you need a therapist because you're depressed, right? Or you need somebody to, you know, pray over you or whatever, however you deal with it. You know, you talk to somebody, release that energy. You got to move forward. You have to take action. You can't just be wrapped up in misery, right? Toxic masculinity can be defined as the need to aggressively compete and dominate others, and encompasses the most problematic proclivities of men. And I say, the same proclivities foster resistance to psychotherapy. Now, I don't know where they're getting all of this from. Because being a man, I'm thinking, I don't represent all men, and I may be strange. Like, you know, I may be the strange man. I don't know. But they say traits of toxic or unhealthy masculinity can include unconditional physical toughness. Unconditional. Okay? Physical aggression, fear and of emotions. So fear of being emotional. Physical aggression and fear. That sounds like a psychopath to me. Or sociopath. I think the sociopath is the one that don't show emotion. Psychopath, I think he shows. The one of them not supposed to show emotion. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. I know one of them is not supposed to be the one that shows emotion. He kills him. He has no connection to what he's doing, even though he's doing it. Anyway, discrimination against people that aren't heterosexual. That's unhealthy masculinity. That has nothing to do with masculinity, as I said. Anybody can discriminate against anybody from the LGBTQ community. You can discriminate against black or white people, right? You can discriminate against people from Muslims or Christians or Jews, right? Hebrews, Israelites, you can discriminate. So discrimination in itself is not a masculine trait. So I know I keep saying this, but I don't get the masculinity about any of these traits or identifications, right? Hyper independence, and, you know, I don't know if people know now, but watching this on YouTube, it seems like it's a lot of women that have this sense of I'm independent. That's one of their major attributes that makes them a good catch. I'm independent, you know, got my own this, my own that, my own this, my own that, right? So sexual aggression or violence, right? We just talked about that. That's not masculine. It's wrong, right? And it's a time for violence, even though we don't want to have to use violence. You know, for the most part, most of us are not interested in waking up and, I'm going to shoot me about 3 people today. You know, I ain't shooting nobody in a month. I'm going to get a couple people have to go down. Everybody's not Wayne Perry, right? So everybody's not out here to murder people. Just not living that way, right? Anybody wake up in the morning trying to be rape somebody, because sexual aggression is rape, sexual assault. That is wrong. I'm just going to keep saying that. Sexual aggression or violence is wrong, not masculine. It is wrong, right? Anti-feminist behavior, we just talked about that, right? So, gotta wonder, what do the feminists actually want? You want to be treated like a man, or you want to be treated equal when you are in the same scenario as your male counterpart? Because being treated equal, being in the same scenario, having the same function or job makes sense, but being treated equal changes a whole lot of things that women have been privy to, you know, like guys taking them out to eat, paying for everything, you know, stuff like that, not being drafted for war, changes a whole lot of things. So like I said, if I'm out on a date with a woman and a guy punches her in the face, that's her rumble. You know what I'm saying? Because she's treated equal with me. So the guy just punched you in the face, what you gonna do, baby? So got to think about these feminists. I don't know what it is they want. I don't even indulge in reading a whole lot of feminist literature or anything like that. But you have to be careful what you pray for, you know, what you ask for, what you hope for, things like that. Because, you know, and I'm all for women being able to defend their country, because it may come a time when it would take everybody, every able body to do that. I get that. And I love a woman that can defend herself or will defend herself. Not as opposed to a woman who would just give in because she's afraid. No resistance because I'm afraid. And it, that's not a female trait. Men do that too. So there's some guys who just are fearful and they just give in, right? Impacts of toxic masculinity. They talk about the impacts of toxic masculinity are far-reaching. One can lead to more violence against women, as men may feel entitled or validated in abusive behavior. Unhealthy masculinity is also incredibly detrimental to men, right? Research has shown that men who display traits of toxic masculinity are more likely to experience isolation, poor health, and unhappiness. When did this term toxic masculinity first come on the scene? Because it seems like somebody's trying to guide us into how to think about behaviors like aggression and stuff like that. It's masculine, it's toxic masculinity. And when aggression is the reason why people are aggressive. And if you're just looking at, oh, because it's a male, then you're going to miss it. And you're not going to be able to help that person. Why a person is aggressive, you have to go into his history and his life experience to find that out, male or female. Right? So They talk about aggression, the impact of toxic masculinity. During childhood, some youth sometimes use violent and aggressive behavior to express emotional distress. As males get older, there is a potential for aggression to escalate into unhealthy territory. So let's just read this without trying to make it male or female. When during childhood, youth, right? Sometimes, right? Even in this, it doesn't even say male or female. It just say youth, right? People, young people use violent and aggressive behavior to express emotional distress, right? Then it switches to as males get older, there's a potential for aggression to escalate into unhealthy territory. And that should read as people get older, right? Those people who have in their youth use violent and aggressive behavior to express emotional distress, when they get older, there's a potential for aggression to escalate into unhealthy territory. That's what that should say. You don't switch from youth to males. So I'm suspicious about that. I'm sorry, y'all. I can't move forward without even being suspicious of the information that I'm trying to share with y'all. But that's just me. For example, teenage boys demonstrating power-seeking behaviors when their masculinity feels threatened. Adolescent boys who cannot healthily express their emotions are more likely to participate in bullying, physical assault, and verbally aggressive behavior. They better take a look at all these females that are fighting in these schools, because I'm going to go off the farm and say aggression. Well, I've been off the farm. Aggression is not a masculine trait. It is a trait as a result of a person's experience. You understand what I'm saying? Because I've seen people who weren't necessarily aggressive, they get inserted, become attached to a particular type of violent environment, and they become very aggressive people. Oh, I have a caller. We're going to go to the caller on 0036.
Can you hear me?
Welcome. Yes. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
This is Key. I'm here with Chuck. I was just about to call you and ask you about those all those girls fighting and this escalation of women imprisonment and everything like that with these people, with them fighting and everything like that. Is that feminine toxicity or something?
Toxic feminine. According to, if you want to look at it like this, but it's we can't give gender to aggression. That doesn't make sense. You know what I'm saying? So, but you,
right.
what you can look at is the environment, that the life of the individual that's acting out aggressively. So you start back as far as you can get from the person, right? And you look at the environment
mm-hmm.
they are presently in, and then you see why the person is acting aggressive, right? And a lot of people act aggressive. Yeah.
I agree. I would do it that way. But I mean, in regards to the people who come up with these words such as, what is it again,
toxic
male?
Toxic masculinity.
So do they ever come up with the toxic femininity? Do they ever look at that or have any comments about that anywhere?
Oh, I didn't look up toxic femininity. I didn't even look that up. That's an excellent, I should look that up.
It seems like to me, if that doesn't even exist, if we're just talking about that now, and this is the first, or the rare occasion when people question where is that toxic femininity, then I think we got a case of some type of prejudice going on with those with that whole phrase of toxic masculinity.
Mm-hmm. Now you said it. Because these attributes are not specific to men. So why is someone ascribing these attributes to the male? Right? Because they're not specific to men. Aggression, women are aggressive also.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're not a stranger to aggression. All men aren't aggressive, you know. So, what up with that? You know, and aggression, like I said previously, aggression has its place, its benefits, depending on who you are. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got the European conquest of the so-called New World, right? Same thing in a European conquest and a so-called continent of Africa. You understand what I'm saying? So we have all of that. Mm-hmm. Where there's Alexander the Great, for example, that was an aggressive individual. What do you, you know, so then you have, they just had a movie about some kind of woman warrior. Viola Summer and David Taylor, some kind of woman, female warrior.
Woman King.
Woman, yeah, whatever that was. I didn't go see it, but I know this. I saw him jumping in the air with some knives. That's aggression, right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a bunch of women in Africa rumbling, right? That's basically what was happening, right?
Yeah.
Right. So they wasn't passively behaving warlike, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
It wasn't, so, that kind of thing. You know, yeah, I'm very suspicious of the whole, like you said, the whole phrase toxic masculinity. It sounds like it's coming from a place, even people who just don't like men wants to defame men, and you know what I'm saying, and just
mm-hmm.
make being male just wrong. So you're wrong for being that way as a male. And, you know, nothing wrong with the hierarchy. The male leads, and the woman's second to the man. Doesn't mean she's a dog. It means that he's in charge, right? You know, and you know how the house breaks down. You know that people break their house down differently. Like the woman basically run the house, but the man is in charge of everything. He's the protector of all of that. That's his kingdom, right? That's her kingdom and his kingdom. The woman basically running that house, though. Most of the time I've seen it, the wife always is in charge of the house, you know. And I mean like directly, like you come in there and stuff like that, if there's a problem, she's gonna just, like, you know how you see the lions, you got the females, they doing their thing, then the hyenas give them a hard time. Out comes the king of beasts, right? Who, where he at, right? So, you know, they all in it together. They just have their way of functioning, and which works for them. It's not, it doesn't take away from the lioness, and the king of beasts is he's the king of beasts because of what he does, you know? So he's stronger than them, and apparently he handled a hyena much better than they do, right? So.
Right.
But aggression, you know, initially the females out there dealing with it first because she's coming in first, she's having first contact. You know, as I was saying, same thing in my house, you want your woman to be able to put up a fight, you know, so that would help you get down there in time enough to help if something's going on. She needs to be able to do something. So aggression has its place. Somebody walking in your house, you're going to become aggressive. You know, so, but all this taking over the world stuff, that's not good. That's just wrong. You're usurping governments and putting people in power so that you can have your way in somebody's country and natural resources. That's wrong, you know. But is that a male quality, or are females capable of such a thing? And I say that aggression, all these attributes are not masculine. They are just things that men do, and they've been doing for a long time. You know, because as I said, anybody can have a childhood where they learn to be violent and aggressive, right? And we see that in Philadelphia, Chicago, or L.A. You know what I mean? Baton Rouge. I hear they down there. It's terrible down there. What's that? Georgia. You know, these little southern states, Texas, New York, you know, Ohio. We see all kinds of aggression and things like that going on. That's not toxic masculinity that's causing that violence. And we always talked about what causes violence in communities. And we talk about poverty and things like that. You know what I'm saying? So, but see, these people trying to chalk it all up to masculinity, toxic masculinity. And I say it's toxic politics, toxic greed, things like that. You know what I'm saying? Then they went on to say something about toxic masculinity can also lead to academic challenges. In school, male students are often encouraged not to show emotion, and aggression is a sign of power or dominance. I just, you know, like I'm saying, you know, I wasn't the smartest student, but damn, I must have been hooky in school on that day where they were encouraged not to show emotion. You understand what I'm saying? Because did you remember something like that? Because I might have missed that. Because I didn't always pay attention in school. Did anybody listening encourage, anybody listen, were you often encouraged not to show emotion? I don't understand that. I don't remember that. And aggression is a sign of power and dominance. Aggression, successful aggression, because you can be aggressive if you want, and you can get your behind whipped. You understand what I'm saying? Like I say, the bully in our school, bigger guy, because I used to be short. He was very aggressive with me. We used to meet him in the alleyway, me and another bigger guy, and, you know, had that bottle fight in elementary school in the alleyway. So, you know, but I had eventually handled that dude by myself one day, in which I did, to my surprise. All it took was a punch, and this guy never messed with me again, and he was way bigger than me. All it took was blood, bust his nose up, and, you know. So it's aggression has its place, right? So I don't know what school they're talking about, but I never heard of nothing like that. For the record, it was European aggression that created the good old USA that men and women benefit from today, right? If the Native Americans were more aggressive, the U.S. might not have become the country we see today. Aggression is a tool to gain control over a population by threatening, coercing, injuring, or killing them, right? So it is also a tool to repel an enemy or threat. They talk about chauvinism, that's the attitude of superiority. A man is superior to the woman, belief that men are superior to women. Well, the scientists say biologically, most men are stronger than women. So if you want to look at that as superiority, you can. But that doesn't make you superior simply because you're stronger. You're superior physically than women. But you're not, you know, if you want to look at, use that word, right? Social impacts of toxic masculinity. Social impacts of toxic masculinity are evident when examining rates of violence, drug-related crime, antisocial behaviors, drug overdoses, and suicide. Did you hear this? Impacts of toxic masculinity. They're trying to blame all this on toxic masculinity. I'm like, wait a minute. There's a high correlation between toxic masculinity and a lack of accountability in rehab. Getting into this data. The 2007 showed that 93% of murdered female victims were killed by male perpetrators. They already know. Okay, that's domestic violence. So you're getting by your spouse, right? Approximately 30% of all murdered women were killed by intimate male partner. In the United States, male comprise more than 90% of all violent criminal perpetrators, right? These statistics speak to the importance of education and prevention surrounding toxic masculinity, which I totally disagree with, because these I said, so then we got this thing where I looked at overcrowdedness, right? More people means an increased demand for food, water, housing, energy, healthcare, transportation, and more. And all that consumption contributes to ecological degradation, increased conflict, and higher risk of large-scale disasters like pandemics. See, and this is from populationmedia.org. They say more people means an increased demand for food, water, housing, energy, healthcare, transportation. So a lack of resources, right? That's basically what that's saying, right? Last, lack of adequate resources for a population contributes to the ecological degradation, increased conflict, and a higher risk of large-scale disasters like pandemics, right? We have an increased population, right? So a study links childhood poverty to violent crime and self-harm. A study links childhood poverty to violent crime and self-harm, right? From childinthecity.org, right? A new study showed that children growing up in poverty are 7 times more likely to harm themselves and be involved in violent crime. So what's with this toxic masculinity? It seems like almost like a pseudoscience to me because it's pretty dug in, and I don't know how it got in there because I'm not following the field of psychiatry and mental health like that. But all of a sudden, this thing called toxic masculinity is here. How poverty drives violence. The study was especially important in determining the effects of crime rates because, unlike other studies, of the entire town of Dauphin was given unconditional cash payments, creating a macro-level community data set. As a result, the real median household income in Dauphin rose from $24,758 in 2014 and 1971 to $39,382, right? In 1976, right? So they had a lack of funds. They couldn't even get the results of the data, but they did get them, right? Oh, they said after the unconditional payment began, there was a change in violent crime that amounts to 350 fewer violent crimes per 100,000 people compared to other towns. So after the unconditional payments began, after people started getting their needs, being able to get their needs met, right, there was a change in violent crime that amounts to 350 fewer violent crimes. It didn't stop, but it helped some people because everybody's not into that, right? Dolphins' violent crime levels average 600 people per 100,000 people. So the magnitude of the effect is quite large, right? Further, the total number of crimes dropped to 1,400 fewer total crimes per 100,000 people compared to an overall crime rate that averaged about 8,000 per 100,000 people. There was also a substantial drop in property crimes. So here we have people coming up with studies that they say support how toxic masculinity causes violence. I mean, here we have a study right here, which we've always had these studies right here about how poverty contributes to crime, right? The article speaks to the importance of education and prevention surrounding toxic masculinity. No, they speak to the impact poverty has on a population, speaks to the importance of education and prevention surrounding toxic economics, taxation and no representation, greed and exploitation. That's what it speaks to. That's what this speaks to. To take it further, violence is a symptom of the impact of slavery, Jim Crow, segregation and systemic oppression, perpetuation of alcohol and drugs, lack of adequate resources, taxation and no representation. So it has particularly on the black community. We see a lot of violence in underserved communities, right? What is toxic is the disproportionate distribution of the resources and wealth. What is toxic is the disproportionate distribution of the resources and wealth, the lack of value of the work people do at the bottom of the economic pyramid scheme. That's toxic. Take poverty and place people in a crowded area, and you may end up with something like this. I don't know if y'all had this John Calhoun's experiment with these rats. They had a rat utopia. They created it. That means they had everything they wanted. And it was the study of the effects of population density on behavior. What looked like a rat utopia and mouse paradises at first quickly spiraled into the out of control crowding, overcrowding, eventual population collapse, and seemingly sinister behavior patterns, right? So we got a lot of overcrowding, right? All these people overcrowding in these cities and things like that. So that's a recipe for, and then you have poverty, right? Overcrowding and poverty. They created the overcrowded crowding created a lack of resources, because once there was 100 mice, now there's 1,000 mice living off the same resources that 100 mice lived off of. That's not going to work. Those economics are not going to provide for the 999 other mice, right? So you're going to have some people bumping heads. You have the strong mice or rats moving in to do their thing. The organized mice and rats going to do their thing, right? They're going to take advantage and do their thing and do the best they can to perpetuate their interests and so forth like that. And the weak are going to suffer, right? And that's exactly what happened in this mouse utopia. Few females carried pregnancy to term. The ones that did seem to simply forget about their babies. They move half of their litter away from danger and forget the rest. Drop and abandon the baby while they were carrying it. So, you know, that's stress. And we can see some of this stuff. So, I mean, these are rats. We're not rats. I get it. One might argue we aren't rats or mice. They said, but it's funny that we having the same type of reaction to the same, I'm just going to say it, stimulus or type of environment where our population is increasing. But our resources aren't increasing to match the growth of the population, right? So, and plus, people not only just not getting their basic needs met, they're not even they're not able to thrive in a way that they would want to. So, everybody can't be millionaires and multimillionaires and things like that. But you know, when you look at it at a certain level, they should be able to live comfortably. You know what I'm saying? Because it's enough money here to do that. So, they talk about drug-related crime. You know, it's the same thing here, but it's a drug-related crime thing. The majority of incarcerated people in the United States are male. Most people serving time on correctional facilities are people of color, raised in low-income households, right? Shockingly, most men enter the prison system for drug-related crimes because they are trying to get that cash. And you gotta admit, all right, man, when you can make $100 a day, just saying 5-0. Come down there and do your shit. And with $100 a day, you ain't have to touch no drugs, you ain't have to shoot nobody. All you had to do is say 5-0 and keep your eyes open. You had to pay attention. But you know what I'm saying? And I seen a guy come up from used cars to Mercedes Benz. Right? Selling drugs. So when drugs becomes the most lucrative way that you can earn money in a community that where you are not able to earn or get your needs met at that point in time of your life, you're going to have people using that, you know, as a way to earn money. That's why, you can throw the whole crew in jail. Another crew will pop right back up. Boom. Right there to take their place. Because that's money to be made. They're willing to take the chance of going to jail and even losing their lives. If this option is one of the consequences of selling drugs. There are people who come for the people who sell drugs, right? So it's a ecosystem out there, and it's big fish, little fish. Get down or lay down, or if you're not, if they catch you sleeping, You might be sleeping forever. That's just the way it is. Is it? But and in the meantime, they're making that money. They get the, they get that $200 sneaker. They get that little hoop, that little whip they wanted to get. Got this whip. Got me a nice apartment. I got my baby some stuff. Got my girl some stuff. We rolling, right? Or not. Maybe just spend it all on yourself. Whether it is, they get some kind of financial gratification and reward from working on the street. And drugs are not the only thing that they're selling on the streets. I'm just using that as an example. So there are social, political, economical influences that impact on aggression, violence, drug use, and crime. You can't provide mental health services for an individual and send them right back into the traumatic environment that caused the trauma. That makes no sense to me. That's like you're trying to save somebody from something that you're sending them right back to. How's that possible? Because I think they had mentioned something about toxic masculinity and men not wanting to get therapy because they think it's weak, things like that, right? Antisocial. United States males are more likely to engage in antisocial behavior than females, primarily due to behaviors associated with toxic masculinity. Really? Do we really have to get into this? And less accountability for their actions, right? So, now I just talked about poverty, right? And, for example, unhealthy and harmful masculine attitudes can lead people to physically assault others because of a perceived insult that may not have been an insult. Y'all heard that, right? So that's not toxic masculinity. That's a person that perceived somebody as insulting them, right? And so I'm going to give you an example of perceiving. It was Castillo. Had his woman and his baby in the car. Police stopped him. He told him, I'm licensed to carry. He said, all right, let me see your driver's license ID. He went to go get it. The cop is right by it on the window. He could slap Orlando on the face if he wanted to. Orlando going to get his paperwork, and the police shoots him about five times close range with his woman and baby in the back seat. He perceived that Orlando was reaching for a gun. He killed this man at close range, saying he thought he was going for his gun. Don't reach for your gun. He's looking right at him. So that toxic masculinity is that fear. So if somebody thought you said something to them that they didn't like, that's a matter of, I can't even say what it is because I don't even know what they're using as an example. Proceed as an insult. You better be careful of what you say, because if you saying something to somebody that's not positive, it can be perceived as an insult, and it probably is. Because if you're saying, hey, have a nice day, sir, they ain't going to perceive that as an insult. So I don't know. I have to know what that scenario was supposed to be about. Drug overdose, trying to tie that to less likely willing to seek treatment for addiction because some people view it as a sign of a weakness to get treatment. Phew. If drug use is a sign of a weakness to some men, that is what they believe, and it may be looking at the damage drugs do to the body and mind. A drug treatment is an admission that you have been weak, right? By making a decision to use drugs, weakened by your decision to use drugs, and the next step proof is that you're in treatment. So you got to deal with that. So drugs do not strengthen you. They break you down, thus the association with being weak, weakened or diminished. That belief doesn't mean that they can't benefit from an intervention. It doesn't mean that they will not seek an intervention. It doesn't even mean that people who don't believe that will seek an intervention, right? How about Many people are less likely to seek treatment because they are not ready to stop using. They feel they can control or handle their usage. They are afraid of being without the effects and influence of drugs. Some people may feel alcohol use and addiction is a weakness, and that is why they seek an intervention or stop using. It is easy to overdose on street drugs because you never know what you're getting. Taking too much of anything is not safe. Unfortunately, there comes a time when people's bodies have had more than enough drugs. People OD for different psychological and physical reasons. The end result is the same. There is nothing masculine about overdosing or not seeking treatment. So I don't get that. Because you can go on YouTube, you can see a lot of male and female statues down Kensington and Allegheny. We talk about suicides, right? Connecting that to toxic masculinity. I'm not even going to read that. There are specific reasons why people decide to take their own lives. So you have to go on, like I said, you have to go into the individual's life, their thinking, and their feelings to even determine why they decided to take their own lives. Toxic masculinity, I don't know. It's starting to sound like a pseudoscience to me. Anyway, what is healthy masculinity? Here were the traits of it. Address disrespect. Encourage men to express emotions freely. Encourage compassion and kindness toward themselves and others. Listen to experiences and validate feelings. Check in with male friends and loved ones. And then what people do, that's just normal behavior. Listen to experience, validate feelings. That's what a therapist does. Encourage compassion and kindness toward themselves and others. Who don't want compassion and kindness toward themselves and others? So as just men are just walking around, what is this? Somebody just watches a bunch of gangster rap videos or something? It just doesn't seem right to me. Encourage men to express emotions freely. I think men do express emotions and freely. Address disrespect. Woo! It's a lot of address and disrespect going on. That's why these guns are popping off in the street. So, I'm not really quite understanding this, but you know, disrespect. You should be addressed, but sometimes, you need to let stuff go, but that people can live and people can be on this side of a jail or prison wall or this side of the dirt. Sometimes only place that you need to address is you. Worry about nobody disrespecting you, saying something you don't like. It was something on the it was YouTube somewhere on the internet. I gotta find it because I wanted to send it to little sister. Well, they just asking these guys, I think it was lifers, outside of a direct threat to them, their life and their family life, is there anything somebody could say that would make them act violently? And I thought that was very interesting on what happened there, because she basically led them to see how they were allowing someone to control them with words. So the control doesn't always look the way you think it looks. Right. So anyway, positive outcomes. Men need to have healthy, balanced sense of masculinity. What does that mean? Men who are more concerned with their emotions will experience increased life satisfaction and self-esteem and decreased rates of mental health problems such as depression. I'm going to tell y'all right now, all the shooting you see going on, if you think that's without emotion, you can't help them guys. You're not going to be able to help them. You think there's no emotion behind that. It's cold-blooded killing, but it's emotion behind that. Undoing toxic masculinity. If you're struggling with unhealthy toxic masculinity, contact your primary care physician, therapy. They want you to seek therapy. So would that be for a female who has those same attributes? That's my question. Should she be doing it? Because a lot of those attributes females have. But I said none of those attributes are specific to. None are specific to a male. What's going on? So my question is, why am I getting the feeling that someone is trying to control how men feel? What men believe to fit their belief and feelings? That's what it's saying. Somebody's trying to mold men into being the kind of men they want them to be. To label male behavior as toxic is to reject males who behave as males culturally, as males are culturally expected to behave. So that is no different than labeling the behavior of people who do not conform to cultural norms governing maleness as toxic or wrong. What's the difference? To attempt to force an agenda belief on people is a violation of their human rights. No one needs therapy because they support maleness or males and femininity for females. Violence is an action or behavior men and women are capable of. It doesn't matter who does what the most. It is not a race. Right? So you can't force people to think the way you want them to think. That makes you a tyrant. So what is toxic masculinity again? From Very Well Mind, refers to the notion that people idea of manliness perpetuates domination, homophobia, and aggression. So are you trying to tell me that there are women out there who are just loving guys who are homosexual, is that what we're saying? And what does homophobia mean anyway? You fear of homosexual people who have same-sex relationships. Well, no, I don't think it's the people that they fear, but they may be apprehensive when people try to project, force their lifestyle on their children. So you might want to call that homophobia, but it's not. It's called a parent's right to direct the life of the child. And that's a natural responsibility. All right? So toxic masculinity involves cultural pressure for men to behave in a certain way. And it's likely this affects all boys and men in some fashion, they say. The idea that men need to act tough and avoid showing all emotions
Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I got to turn you off, man. Yeah, I forgot. I'm sorry. You're off now. The idea that men need to act tough and avoid showing all emotions can be harmful to their mental health and can have serious consequences for society. So I didn't know that men are not supposed to show any emotions or sociopathic. I'll kind of like be on vibe. So I didn't know that. But it's a lot I don't know. Then talk about gynophobia, the fear of women. What? So what is toxic masculinity? Toxic masculinity isn't just about behaving like a man. Instead, it involves the extreme pressure some men may feel to act in a way that is actually harmful. And what are they talking about? Toughness. The notion that men should be physically strong, emotionally callous, and behaviorally aggressive. Just the language, the way they language this is crazy. It helps to be physically strong in order to lift heavy things. Men are generally stronger than women. We talked about that naturally, right? That's what the scientists say, right? Gender differences in strength, in comparison of male and female. In terms of absolute strength, the average man tends to be considerably stronger than the average woman. The average man tends to be considerably stronger than the average woman. This is from scholar.princeton.edu, right? The absolute total body strength of a woman has been reported as being roughly 67% that of men. All right? So that might account for why men more men are aggressive because they're stronger, and that's usually who they are. A lot of times the aggressor is, like I said, the bully. If you're that type of person, you're stronger, you can bully other men because you're bigger and stronger than them. So one of them busts you in the head with something. I'm just saying, I'm not advocating violence, but I do advocate self-defense. So they said men are not reared or encouraged to be emotionally callous. Right? I was told to be good, respect our elders and, you know, other people. So a man can become emotionally tough through negative life-changing and threatening experiences. It only means that a man is not going to cry or become emotionally distraught when his emotions are under attack. Emotional toughness is not gender specific. So it's nothing wrong with being emotional tough. You don't gotta be wear your emotions on your sleeve. Like you out there, you got some people approaching you. I'm gonna tell you right now, because if you walking down the street and say I'm approaching you at a long time ago, asking you for some money, like let me hold something, and you start crying, now I might just go in your pockets because you're crying because I just asked you for some money. You didn't even say, no, get out of here. And then you say, no, I ain't got nothing, and walk away. You just crying emotionally. So, like, that's a sign of a weakness. Now, maybe you might cry and break out into some Bruce Lee stuff. I don't know. But from experience, and I'm not a bully, but if that dude is crying, he's afraid. If he's afraid, he don't want no smoke. So that's a guy who pockets you can go in. Every time you see him, you just wait till you see him going to the store and get you some money to get that, you know, you get high or your whole gear, whatever you're trying to get, right? Or some people just do it just because they know they can do it to you. You know what I'm saying? So they just coming up on you, bullying you. So, no, I say sometimes even if you are afraid, do not let people know that you're afraid. Don't they tell you to do that with animals? Don't let the dog know you're scared of them and all that stuff. Well, you should do the same thing with people. Don't let, even if you are afraid, do not let these aggressors know that you're afraid. They will take advantage of that. That's like a green light. Go in your pockets. Take your coat from you, or if you got a nice coat, whatever you got. That's like a green light for that. Anti-femininity. This involves the idea that men should reject anything that is considered to be feminine, such as showing emotion or accepting help. Get out of here. Men and women reject men behaving feminine like a woman or trying to be like a woman. Like I just said, there are women who reject that. That's not a masculine trait. There are people who reject that. And some people will point you to scripture to show you why they should reject it, right? Anyway, let's keep it real. Everyone is not in agreement with the idea or perception of a man being feminine or like a woman. A man does not reject a woman being feminine or like a woman. Therefore, a man does not reject anything considered feminine. That's not even true. Men do not reject anything that's considered to be feminine, right? That's not true. You know, and it, men do show emotion and accept help, but a man should not have the emotional capacity of a child, right? And I'm just going to go as far as to say, neither should a woman. You know how kids cry, try to get what they want. They don't use their words, maybe because they're not, their minds aren't as developed. Adults have the ability to use language better than a child. So therefore, you shouldn't be crying so much like a child. Use your words. I've been getting help all my life, and I've helped other men. There are many reasons why men and women do not accept help. Who's offering the help? What help they are offering? Pride, the price of receiving help. Sometimes the price is steep. You know? Power. This is the assumption that men must work toward obtaining power and status, social and financial, so they can gain the respect of others. It's funny. They should say men work towards obtaining power and status. I listened to women on the Kevin Samuels podcast who actually state that they want a high-valued man, a six-figure man. A six-figure man has more power than a five-figure man. A five-figure has more than a four-figure, and you do the math, right? His ability to provide is greater. So that is perpetuated, hate to say it, by some women, right? There is nothing wrong with seeking power and social status. You got presidents, mayors, Indian chiefs, preachers. It's how you use it that really counts. How you obtain and maintain it counts. This, too, is not gender specific. These aren't gender specific attributes, but someone is trying to twist it as if, oh, this is a male thing, you know, aggression, that's male. No. Males do it. Yes, they do. A female can do it also. Maybe females physicality doesn't tell them, I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to be about that. But you look on the internet, we got some females out here pulling out those gats, doing the same thing the brothers doing. We have a lot of brothers, little thin in the behind brothers, you know, taking people out. Because, you know, the pistol increases your level of lethality. So you don't no longer have to be skilled, right? You don't have to be a boxer or a karate expert or whatever, you know, have your baseball bat, whatever you need. All you need is that gun. And you can deal with most people. So toxic masculinity glorifies unhealthy habits. It's the notion that self-care is for women. Self-care is for women? Well, I need to stop washing because I'm being effeminate. And men should treat their bodies like machines. Well, by skipping on sleep, working out, even when they're injured, and pushing themselves to their physical limits. Now, that's again, so far I haven't found anything that's gender specific. Female athletes compete when they are injured too. From globalsportsmatter.com, researchers have found that women are more willing to play through injuries than men. In addition, the willingness to play through pain is seen as heroic or even necessary for success. Heroic or necessary for success. All right? Deli Donnie turned to meditation to help her manage her pain during the WNBA finals. Kurt Schilling, right? He had a torn tendon in his right ankle, sutured to his skin. Michael Jordan had, they say he had the flu, but later on they said he had probably was food poisoning, right, from the hotel. Led a comeback, scoring 38 points against the Utah Jazz. in game five of the 1997 NBA finals, right? Kurt Strom, he, our American competitor, fell and then injured her ankle. I mean, Carrie Strug injured her ankle on the first two of her attempts on the vault. That's that thing that girls jump up on in Olympics. She, on a third try, she had a score of 9.712, was enough to give the Americans a team gold, all right? Jack Youngblood in the playoff, right? NFC title game against Tampa Bay. He broke his left fibula, right, and played in the football game, played in the Super Bowl, and played in the Pro Bowl 8 days later. Bob Bond, hockey player, right? And he took a slap shot to the ankle, was carted off on a street stretcher. He refused to have the ankle x-ray and instead insisted on having it frozen. He had it frozen. He scored the game-winning goal, and the inspired Leafs went on to win the championship with a victory in Game 7. Tiger Woods played, right? He was told to skip the opening, right? Because he had knee surgery. He ended up playing against some guy. Who was his name? Mediate, right? Anyway, was Mediate lost, missed a 15-foot putt, and Woods limped away with the championship. You understand what I'm saying? Amanda Nunes, known as the greatest female fighter to have ever stepped into the UFC octagon, right? She said, you know, we go through a lot of things in a fight, especially injuries, and we try to train with injuries, right? Training or playing injured has nothing to do with being masculine and everything to do with an individual's type of injury, threshold for pain, and desire to be victorious. If this behavior is toxic, it is not a masculine but internal attribute. All right, so I'm running out of time. I only got 1 minute left. I got to go. I want to thank We Talk Productions, Blog Talk Radio, and Mr. Kenneth Jones, and all my callers and listeners. Thank you for listening in. Hope I'm able to continue the show. Till next week, each one reach one, each one teach one. Peace out, y'all.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. there will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Women Liberationists and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.